All right, cool. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, you will notice that we are in my wine cellar. You'll notice that I've taken up. I'm training to be a sommelier.
I thought every cellar Cole was in was a wine cellar because you're such a little baby.
That was unnecessary.
Yeah, it wasn't necessary too. Like, you don't actually want that much. I meant baby in a good way, like a Phil Spector wall of sound
Oh yeah.
girl group way.
I'm just gonna ignore this. I just wanna get this over with because
Okay.
you're mean today. No.
I'm having some cranks. I need a drink.
No, we'll see. What this is gonna be a quiz. We're gonna pop. I'm gonna have you pick a bottle at random, and I'm going to taste it, get the notes, and maybe we can derive a title from that.
Okay. That sounds good. Let me I'm gonna grab this box right here.
Cool, thanks. It's much easier to store the
Yeah, they're
boxes.
square.
Yeah, like you can stack them and shit.
You don't need a special furniture for them.
No, you don't need somebody to go turn them, you know,
It's
except
so
for
soak up on some drunkenness.
the only thing that's going to get turned here is me. So that's a little wine joke for you. Let's see here. Okay, so I'm gonna pop the top on this boy, by which I mean I guess rip
Savor it.
open. Yeah. All right. Getting kind of a sweet passion fruit thing here. It's a little
Okay.
bit acidic, but there's like a bitter element, like a raisin. There are the traces of ketamine and sulfur, and that might have something to do with the tannins.
Okay. Isn't ketamine that drug they give to cats?
Yeah, it's a club drug. Again, like I said,
Yeah.
it's turnt. You know, it's a
You're gonna go into a K hole, a
right.
coal hole. You're
Yep.
gonna the original coal hole.
Yeah, I'm getting this kind of erotic sense from this. It's a real kind of like just a it's a rose. Like I haven't looked at this, but is this a rosé or something like that? No, it's just an especially lively red. Huh. Well, I don't know how to wait a minute. Sweet passion fruit, acidic raisin, ketamine, sulfur, tannins, erotic rose, sparkster. And this isn't wine, this is possum piss.
Oh, damn, you took some of the real golden stuff. Yes.
There's a big frothy quaff of the golden stuff.
Let's go make a mess of piss.
The real golden stuff.
Yeah, liquid gold.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that not only is the ghost of Randy the Macho Man Savage here, he is a urine fetishist.
Oh, yeah.
We can make that joke because we don't have to be afraid of him anymore. His reign of terror is over.
Did he die?
Oh God, yeah.
Might be possible.
Yeah, he was the wrestler so nice he died twice. He had a heart attack and then wrecked his car.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I was thinking of not Randy Savage, but Jesse Ventura.
I was thinking of Adam Savage.
Yeah, the wrestler known as Adam Savage. I'm
Yeah.
an orange weirdo. Slam.
Wait, somebody
I
hold
wear a
my
beret for
hat.
some reason. Slam. God, do you think anybody pulls off a beret?
Oh, you're thinking of Jamie Hyneman.
Okay.
Sorry, no,
So
you're
this is the less, because isn't the Adam Savage the one who's supposed to be a real dick?
Jamie, no, Adam Savage is widely considered to be one of the nicest people on earth. Jamie
Okay.
is the real taciturn guy with the walrus mustache, who
Okay.
is
Where's the prey?
like yeah, where's the beret? He's real quiet, is real like taciturn, and I would believe that he would be disagreeable, let's say, to work with.
One of them is supposed to be a legendary dickhead.
Yeah,
They just
I would believe that
haven't
more.
said
They're both fine on television. I would believe that more of Jamie than Adam.
I believe it. It's fine. They have an economical partnership.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I knew that Randy Savage was dead, but I must have forgotten.
Yeah.
What an insult to his ghost.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, I don't even know the state of your, it's like the most basic thing you can know about somebody is the binary, whether they're alive or dead.
Whether or not they are dead as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just totally forgot about that guy.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's because he's always snapping into Slim Jims.
Yeah.
By which I mean, dick's full of piss. Breaking them open like glow sticks and just like drinking the yellow within.
I gotta ask you, because you did the whole The Real Golden stuff to me a while back. I gotta tell people, we don't always try out bits, but this is one that Gary just
I saw somebody refer to piss as the golden stuff once on like a sign or something online. Like, I don't remember what it was, but that made me think of this piss kind of vocalization for
that, that voice. Yeah,
I you're in time. I'm Gary Butterfield. We'll get into it.
I'm Cole Ross.
This is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to. You're in time. It for me is very thoughtful. Like, I think a lot about like I think about pissing more than shitting. Like, if I'm shitting, I try to keep my mind off it because it actually grosses me out.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Pissing, it's like it's not enough time to distract myself.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm just very present for it.
Yeah,
And that's, you know, it makes me think about like, you know, the process and think about, you know, what I like about it, what I don't like about it. And I will make jokes to myself about peeing, especially now that I live alone. But even when I had the houseboys, because I work from home and they went to work, so I'd have the house to myself. When I get up and pee, and do my inaugural piss. I would do something. And for a long time, my standard joke was the Heath Ledger Joker thing of going, here we go, before I pissed. And I don't know why that was so funny to me. But now it's been really about the real golden stuff, a.k.a. piss. And just being way into it. Like, look at this character. She's just like a real cheerleader for the golden stuff.
The real golden stuff.
Golden stuff.
Yeah,
I think stuff is what makes that line funny to me. Yeah. It's very like very non-specific noun.
Yep, that real substance.
Yeah, the real warm substance, aka piss.
Yeah, and I think you're onto something. Like that 20 seconds, it's not enough time to really focus on something else. It's kind of a meditative experience. And for me, you know, I don't want to say every time I pee it's an emergency, because that implies a certain like, urgency to my life that doesn't really exist. What's that?
I was going to say irritable bladder syndrome, but I shortened it to irritable blad syndrome. Who's irritable blad?
Blad the impaler.
Yeah. Get off of my lawn.
Oh no, but like it's I'm usually trying to finish something I'm doing, you know, like my last concern at the moment. Like, you never stop and go to the bathroom if you don't need to. And this is the grossest I think that we've ever opened up the show.
I mean, this is urine, though. Again, we've established this is less gross,
right?
On the hierarchy of like gross things that come out of your body, I feel like this is PG.
Yeah, emphasis on the P.
Yeah,
no, but just you're always working on something, you know. Like, I'm not doing it if I don't need to, right? So there's there's almost always an element of like, yes, here it is. This is what it is to be human.
It disrupts everything. So it's like waking up having to pee really sucks. Like everything, you know, going and having to pee in the middle of a movie, like it is a very disruptive, unpleasant experience.
Mm.
I mean, it can be pleasant, but like it is disruptive.
Yeah.
Something. Last time I went to go float at a sensory deprivation tank. They have this book out in the lobby, and they usually have these hippy dippy books. They're like a really regrettable art book where people can just like draw with colored pencils what they thought their experience was.
Oh, geez.
And that's an embarrassment. But this one was like 100 or like 100 or 200 like novel experiences to have. And one of the things they suggested, and I haven't tried it yet, but was to pee while drinking water, because like you intellectually know that there's no connection between those things.
Okay.
But it's supposed to feel incredibly weird.
Okay.
To do so, like you're like literally just passing something through you. Like, it gives you a presence of mind and awareness to the fact that we are basically tubes.
Oh yeah.
That you usually don't have.
I'm always aware that I'm a tube.
that's where they own YouTube. Like,
yeah.
YouTube, me tube.
We all tube.
Yeah, everyone tubes. We're all tubes.
Yeah. I'm always aware that I'm a tube, and I always desperately want to go tubing behind a boat.
Play Tubin.
Mm, yeah, Tubin's a pretty good game, although it's I've never seen an arcade version of it. I want to get that one with the paddles.
Yeah, the paddles help. One other thing that's along the lines of pissing but less gross. I had a very strong bathroom realization a couple weeks ago, which was that by far my least favorite part of like maintenance, you know, like daily kind of like grooming and stuff like that.
It's called hygiene. Yeah.
Hygiene. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. My least favorite part about hygiene, other than shaving, which I just don't do.
Right.
That was my least favorite. But now that that's off the scales, it's drying off.
Yeah, it's.
I hate drying off, man. Like, it's real boring. It's like, it just doesn't do enough for me.
Yeah. So I solved that. I dry myself not with a towel, but with something called like it's like a blanket towel or like a bathroom towel or a bathroom bathroom blanket kind of thing. It's just a gigantic towel.
Okay.
You know, and you know, you have to wash them frequently because they're pretty big. But it's like, I'm going to cover as much of my body with this. And as much of this is going to start out dry as possible, that like, it's basically, I'm doing like a scarf dance on myself with this thing, trying to.
What is a scarf dance?
You know, like a real sexy, like burlesque kind of thing where it's like, oh, I'm walking out, I'm covered in a bunch of scarves and I'm
okay. Like the lady that Homer took the picture with.
Yeah. Okay. It's like a belly dance thing, I think. Yeah. But I'm basically doing that. With as big of a thing that starts out as dry as possible, in order to expedite this process.
Yeah, get it over with. At first I wasn't sure whether this made it more entertaining or made it quicker.
I believe it makes it quicker. There's probably somebody who would be able to like run the numbers and say like, actually you're only drying the part of you that is that your hand is in contact with through the towel.
Yeah.
You know, I could see that, but it feels better. So I think that's a little bit that counts, right? Personality counts.
Like, yeah, the psychosomatic element.
Yeah.
Of it. Yeah. And it's not like you have to get 100% dry.
No.
Like it to my mind, you dry the areas that are likely to like mold and stuff. Like I make sure that like,
hey Gary, what's your life like?
Make sure that like,
just real quick, we're going to check in on you, buddy.
Generally dark and warm needs to be bone dry.
Right.
Because I don't want to like get a rash or anything like that. But like your arms, who gives a shit? You know, like your arms can be like a little bit damp and they'll dry off on their own. Right. It's not like it's going to grow a fungus, you know?
And with the summertime, you know, that puts a buffer. It puts an evaporative buffer.
Oh yeah. It's like a pre-sweat. It's like a clean sweat.
Yeah. No, sometimes I'll get out of the shower, dry off, and then realize, as I'm getting dressed that I forgot to dry one leg.
I've done that before too. It's real funny.
Ever since, about like 7 years ago when I stopped washing my hair every single day, like I'm like using shampoo on my hair every single day. I wash my hair every day. I have forgotten, to rinse my hair sometimes. So like, let's say roll a D20 on a one, you will, get out of the shower, dry off your body and then go to dry off your hair and then realize, oh, it's like foamy. Like I still have a bunch of soap and shit in my hair. So, I have to go back into the shower.
That's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
When that happens, it's like, thank God no one's watching. Like me, like literally fuck up the easiest thing in the world that I've done. I don't know, like conservatively, I don't know, like 10,000 times.
Right. Yeah. You've reached your Malcolm Gladwell threshold.
100%.
Not in hours, at least like, in incidents. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny when you can mess things up like that. The same thing happens when I get in the shower with my glasses on.
Oh, geez.
And it's just like, I've done this so many times. Like, how am I still fucking this up from time to time? You know, it's pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of drying off. Although one of the best favors I ever did for myself was buy a hair dryer.
Yeah, hair dryers are great.
Yeah.
And here's this. I've talked about this before on the show, but like the secret is it dries any hair. It's not just the hair on your head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like you just use that whole thing on your whole body. And like, especially in the winter, like if it's cold, like a hairdryer is a treat.
Yeah.
Like a real treat. Like sometimes I think this winter I'm going to experiment with, not using a towel and just using a hairdryer and like taking like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to take so long.
And just really luxuriate in like the hot breath from a strong man feeling that comes from a hairdryer.
Yeah, no, I might upgrade my hair dryer because I like the ones at hotels that feel like it is like a heat gun for shrink wrapping shit.
That's what I've got.
I want to excoriate my skin.
Yeah, mine that I have is very hot and it's very small too, which is nice because it's nice. It's weird. There's no correlation between the size of a hair dryer and how hot it gets.
Right.
But those tiny ones like that you use to shrink wrap like are incredible. And then I remember using my mom's and I was put off hair dryers forever because I would use my mom's and it just like took forever and mostly just felt like a fan.
Right. The thing about it is, here's the thing about a hair dryer. You have to make sure to keep it clean. Like, if it ends up, I'm not saying your mom was untidy, but I've noticed this in my own personal experience that my mom would occasionally let the filter get all clogged up. No, you want maximum throughput, because otherwise that thing is going to smell like burning dust when you turned it on, and it's going to take forever to get to anything close to a performance profile.
Yeah. Yep. I think we talked about this, and I feel like I know the answer. What's your stance on pissing in the shower? Just to bring this all like full circle with the beginning of the episode and then now where we've ended up.
Right. 15 minutes later. I'm a no on pissing in the shower. I've tried it, just to see what the hubbub was about. In fact, that was one of the first things that I did when I got my own apartment, where I wasn't pissing in a shower that somebody else could feasibly use.
Yeah.
I mean, I all of a sudden feel very vulnerable in saying this.
I'm tricking you into giving up a secret.
Yeah. I did it like once or twice just to see what the hubbub was about. And I think it's just something you have to come up doing. It's like an assumption that I think you're going to do it out of convenience once. Nobody's going to correct you because nobody watches you and tells you how to shower.
Yeah.
And so
that really great Seinfeld episode about that.
Right.
It's like, what? That's a Seinfeld bit that's always stuck with me.
Yeah. You're fighting gravity. Stop fighting gravity. Yeah. But and then you meet other people, say, oh my gosh, that's crazy. That's so gross. And it's been baked in. I spent too long not doing it. And I don't know that I have an especially principled stance against it. I just don't like the idea of pissing in a way that realistically, some of it could get on my feet.
Like, you know? It can definitely get on your feet. Like, that can happen.
And I know that I'm in water is going to be washed off, but I just have, I've got cleanliness things. So, I'm tried it, not for me. I want to be more open-minded in my life, Gary.
That's I'm glad you gave it a shot. It means a lot to me.
How about you?
I'm way into it. I've always
all about it.
I've always done it. Like, I'm all in for it.
Right.
Because there's something like kind of subversive about it. Like, it feels like, man, like I'm just kind of peeing. Like, you never get to feel like you're peeing in just like a small room. You know, I stopped peeing outside. Like, I don't even do that.
Right.
I just toilet and shower for me.
Yeah.
And then sometimes like a particularly gnarly, like basement sink. In cases of an emergency or like,
I mean, that sometimes you have to call an audible. Like, I've definitely pissed into the floor drain of a basement or a garage.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's, you know, and it's like, I feel confident enough in my aim where like I can do that and make sure it's not just, you know, it's not disgusting.
Right. You're not like doing it in a corner where it's going to puddle.
Yeah.
Up, like.
Just hoping that it just drains and gets there eventually, you know, and whatever kind of snail trail it leaves is... You know,
okay, it's you and a buddy, you each pick a corner, piss race.
Yeah, see which horse can get to the center.
Yep.
Come on, golden boy. Stay golden, pony boy. Yeah, but like in the shower, like I won't wait to do it. It's not like I like when I say I'm all about it. It's not like a treat, like an ice cream cone where I like
right.
save up for it or anything. It's just like if I have, you know, I'm not immune to the sound of running water making me have to urinate. Like,
you know what? And sometimes you have a bonus pee, you know, like that's, I feel like we're 12 years old and we're trying to be transgressive, but all that we like the filthiest thing we know about is pee. No, but sometimes you have a bonus pee. Like, you know, you get up there, you do the perfunctory one, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe it's like 5 minutes later, maybe you take a break from brushing your teeth, go make coffee. Oh, oops. Mm-hmm. That didn't finish the job. I'm not going to get out of the shower.
Well, that's the thing too, is like, it doesn't, you know, I don't plan for it. It just tends to happen a lot and I'm not going to dry off. And then like, that's a bad feeling. Like I've had to like shit before and been in the shower and I've gotten better. Like, I'm an adult now, so I can time things out. But when that's happened where it's like, I really got to shit, I'm going to get up, dry off, take a shit and then get back in the shower. Like, that is an undignified experience that
I'm not
a fan of.
Yeah. That's that's like showing up at the bank without your deposit slip.
yeah, it's just like, can you do this for me, you know? Like, it's not a good feeling.
There's a term on the internet for that, for, you know, if you have to rock a two in the shower. It's called waffle stomping because of how you eliminate the remains.
I've never why would you do that though? Like, why would you do that in the shower? Like,
I think it's a thing like a blumpkin, you know. I think it's like people say it exists, but
I'm sure that there have been like somebody on the Something Awful forums have shot in the shower.
Oh yeah.
But the I just want to clarify that that's not what we were talking about before that. When I was like, yeah, I do it. I'm not proud of it. I've never shit in a shower.
No. I've thrown
like,
up in a shower.
No. I've thrown up in a shower too, but not on purpose. Like right. Just I'm sick and hungover.
Yeah.
But the shitting in the shower, that's a bridge too far. I will not stomp on a waffle. Like I will pee in a shower, and if something that gets on my feet, umbasa. But I will not truck.
Kesara.
I will not truck my own shit getting on me.
No.
Or anyone's shit. Period. Right. Under any circumstances. Like I think it's like the grossest thing.
Yeah.
So I should never have a baby, because like the first time that baby shits on me, it's out.
And that's
like
that's
me and the baby are getting divorced.
That's weird because you have a cat. And part of that is dealing with the cat's
way less than a dog, though.
Not true.
You know, because yeah, like a dog, you have to actually touch it with like a thin coat of plastic in your hand, and it's right after the dog did it. Mm. Here, like, there's something that happens to cat shit when it's been sitting in a litter box for a while, where it becomes like abstracted.
Yeah.
Like it's just kind of like it's covered. Like it doesn't visually look the same.
It's a grainy rock.
Yeah, it gets rock hard. You know, it smells less, you know, than it did. Whereas like having a dog, like it's fresh.
Mm, yeah,
and that's the difference for me.
Yeah, I've never, man, oh man, yeah, I can't handle it all. That's a big barrier to pet ownership for me. Is
the feces and any pet too. It's weird because like you get something like a fish or something, mm-hmm. and it's like you still have to deal with that shit.
Yeah, yeah, like once a week you're draining the shit water. Yeah,
yeah, pretty gross.
Yeah, it's no good. Yeah. Hey Gary, this is real important to me, and I want you to answer it as honestly as possible. We've stayed in
what
hotel
do you think
room.
Of Sparkster? Okay.
we've stayed in hotel rooms together for weekends with several shower opportunities. Have you ever indulged in this particular thing in a vessel that I would have been in either right before or and more operatively, desperately more operatively, right after you?
I've peed in your water before, but not in your shower.
Okay.
So like you're drinking. No, I mean, I don't think so.
Okay.
I've definitely thought about that before. I can't.
Just to have like a secret, like to get some ass pennies on me.
No, not considered it. I've been mindful of that. But if you were to put a gun to my head and say like, listen, you know, if you've done it, you're going to get shot. If you've never done it, I couldn't say I didn't like, I wasn't very tired or very hungover or very drunk.
Okay.
And done it. I've never done it sober mindfully.
Okay.
That's as good as I can do.
That's all that I want. That's really all that I want. You're off the hook, man.
Yeah. I knew it would definitely bother you. And generally I don't do it when I'm sharing a shower with somebody, even though I've done it with like relationship cohabitation.
Oh, all bets are off.
Oh, but yeah, like there's people in relationships who shit with the door open. Like I don't do that, but if like peeing down a shower drain and like rinsing it real good is off the table, like that's a bad relationship.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
What'd you think of Sparkster?
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
That wasn't intentional. Like we didn't intentionally open with 20 minutes of 25 minutes of piss chat.
That would have been a good ending for this podcast, actually. I wish I had waited a little bit longer and just did that.
Well, I would feel pretty bad because this is one that was recommended by so this is a random one, but it was submitted by our friend Sean.
Hey Sean.
Yeah, Sean. Who we know from Portland. Yeah.
Sean F.
Sean has like submitted the entire series here.
I did not play the entire series.
No, those may pop up, but I don't know if there's anything more to say. This is like Konami's answer to Sonic.
Yes.
Like very, very brazenly, like down to the design of like the sprite and the eyes and the attitude. The fact that I think the character is some kind of possum or rodent.
Yeah, it's a rodent platformer, as was the style at the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't play this when I was younger, but it has a good reputation. I don't think it's that great. It's fine. Like it's, you know, it's good. It's fine. But, I don't like, the kind of like lead on the animation
mm-hmm.
of the Super Nintendo version, at least like made me a little bit like motion sick.
Okay.
Which is very weird for a platformer to do, but it's a little bit too like touchy.
Yeah.
And then the biggest thing is that you do that charge thing. So his whole point is he has a jetpack. He like charges up, puts his sword forward and runs forward. Because it's so zoomed in on the Super Nintendo version, when you get done with your charge, you'll kind of just like stop and go into a run in which you're vulnerable.
Mm.
And there's likely an enemy there. So whenever I charged along the ground, I would, as soon as I, you know, ended the charge, I would hit a guy.
Mm.
And I almost always got hurt. So yeah. Air charging good, ground charging didn't work for me.
Right.
It's...
Yeah. So this is the point where we need to CYA and say that, yes, we know that the Sparkster on Genesis and the Sparkster on SNES are similar but different games.
Yeah. Yeah. I looked that up and stuff too, but it's not like one is considered to be good and the other one's considered to be a disaster or anything.
Right, right.
They're supposed to be like they're fairly similar, yeah.
You know, like you do, similar stuff like that you have if you activated your rocket while you were standing still, you did like a spin attack kind of thing.
Yeah. And you can do the rocket up, but not diagonally. Or at least I couldn't get it to go diagonally.
Oh,
maybe
weird.
You can, but I kept firing the spin. And what that meant was there's like a place where it's very clearly meant to be like you bounce off walls in a diagonal.
Yeah.
In the second part of the level. But I kept doing it just kept spinning in place. And I was like, well, fuck this. I don't care about coins.
I honestly wonder if that is a function of the emulator not accepting that many button inputs. Yeah,
that could definitely be the case.
Yeah. Because that's a cool thing. Like it moves really quickly and you're trying to manage your ricochet, It's fine. Like you have a little sword attack, but you're right about like the animation, not just on like the camera and like the lead up and stuff, but like this is that they're reveling in the quality and size of the sprite a little bit here. And there's a lot of English put on stuff. When probably it ought not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, again, fine is really the only thing I can say. It's really well thought of.
Mm-hmm.
This is, considered to be kind of like a lost classic for certain people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
so much so that I think they put out,
there's a remake.
Yeah. They put out the remake, but I think that might've been pulled from a store. I think there was just like, there was this spate of Konami done remakes that were done in the Xbox 360 era that were put up and then immediately taken down almost.
Yeah.
And that remake was not very well considered. Like it did not review well at the time.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, like I got to what I thought might have been a boss, but it was like a big sprite. Hey, here's something that's rotating. You have to wait for these segments of a gigantic cylinder to line up and expose what appears to be a screw. And then you have to like charge into that, like rocket into that. And then you unscrew it and deactivate that segment. However, it seemed to rely almost entirely on, will it expose the thing that is vulnerable?
Yes.
And I like, and it's damaging you all the time. Like that kind of seemed like bullshit to me.
It's also, once you get past the kind of second part of the first level, the factory level I got to in the Super Nintendo version, is a ridiculous ramp in difficulty.
Oh, geez.
It's all like, there are no platforms. Like it's all the slidey things you hang on with your tail.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'd have the feeling of like, oh, this is a high precision platformer, that I don't feel confident in this control scheme enough to make work. Like similar to an Arrow of the Acrobat, actually, which is like makes sense because they're both kind of marmot based jumping buttons.
Rodentia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that was. Just everybody was trying to like, if you look at the cover, even of Rocket Knight Adventure, it's shameless. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same like composition as the Sonic 1 cover. You know, he's wearing the blue armor. He's looking directly at the viewer. It's kind of nuts.
The Sparkster entry on the Rocket Knight wiki also has just him in multiple resolutions, like doing that look and stuff. Occupation unknown.
He's a Rocket Knight. That's what he is.
I hate it.
Like,
yeah. And his age is 17.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
Which is like crazy ancient for a marmot.
Yeah. He's the world's oldest marmot. It's been conscripted. The vile pig soldiers of the Devo Tindos.
it's a real Metal Gear Sparkster 4.
Yes, Electric Snake.
Jeez, and there's a lot of lore to this too. I think is something that that a lot of people are probably latched onto. Like I played this in Rocket Knight Adventures on rentals. I was kind of all about them, but it was like the kind of game that I would get probably play over the course of like 2 days on a weekend, and then like read the manual and spend most of it like explaining to my beleaguered father what's cool about this mascot game, like as he's just trying to connect with me as we at an East of Chicago pizza. It's like
yeah I don't really get it, and it's not but it's also not a war crime either.
No,
you know, it's like I had a reasonable amount of fun. I think if I had circumstances had been different and I had found this when I was younger,
yeah,
like I would have played it and liked it.
Yeah,
you know, I get why it has that kind of classic reputation.
I mean, especially because it's Konami too. I mean, like that.
Yeah,
is...
totally. It's a Konami platformer. Like, how bad can it be?
Right.
You know, it's actually very good. There's a little bit of like GameFAQs, kind of juice, with this. Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
But there's a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't find much.
The only thing I want to call attention to, and this is like GameFAQs bronze at this point, because it's just awkward phrasing.
Okay.
But this review by Lord Spencer, Sparkless Sparkster, has the following sentences. One of the genres almost perfected in the SNES Genesis Wars is the platformer genre. From the spectacular Super Mario Land to the speedy Sonic games, Sparkster is apparently Konami's input into the platformer genre, but with an action twist strapped on in the shape of a rocket. So,
pretty soon we will go to the moon, by which I mean our sales will skyrocket.
Rocket through the moon.
The rocket being our sales, and the moon also being our sales, or where
being
they will
saturation.
Be.
Saturation.
Yeah. Evidenced by a start in the Genesis, Sparkster follows the 90s craze of animals with attitude.
It definitely does. Yeah. That specific phrase may have been done to death in the 90s, and it was an uninspiring and lazy one, to be honest.
Why'd you use it?
This is a pretty brutal review, Lord Spencer.
Sparkester might not be in the same league as Sonic and Mario, but comparing them might not be exactly fair. Okay, fine. I just wanted to say Sparkester.
Yeah, Sparkester. definitely true. This is not fair to compare.
No.
That whole, like... you know, there's a YouTuber guy called Movie Bob who does movie reviews.
Okay.
Who is generally like pretty good.
Okay.
And stuff. Like, he's not perfect. Like, he's, you know, he's got some problems, but it's on my list of things that I will watch from time to time. And he has a series on movies that he calls like Good Enough Movies.
Okay.
And it's like it's gems, like GEM. And it's just like for those kind of second string, like this is good enough. Like, there's something interesting about this. This is not a classic. And I feel like that's an interesting place for games too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not interesting for any of the ways that I like to approach games. Like, I want someone else to do Watch Out for Fireballs exclusively for like also rans that are like this. You know?
Well, like, I don't think that the way even just civilians write or think about games is geared up at all for good enough. It's certainly not. I mean, like, this guy takes something, establishes, hey, this was a super common genre at this time, and then immediately like stacks it up next to the most successful versions on either platform and says,
there's no space for good enough, or there's no space, like, I mean, this is not an original observation, but it happens in kind of general internet discourse that everything is either best or the worst, mm-hmm. In a way that is infuriating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything is like this, the sorting algorithm. You know,
yes.
And like, oh, all right, you're going to dismiss something and later is going to come back to you and you're going to have to determine whether or not that is better or worse than another thing that you liked or didn't like.
Right. Like shunt it into the two Plinko like slots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it keeps happening with, like, you know, I really like games that are like a B. Mm-hmm. Or there are games that are like a B that I like.
Yeah.
You know, and it keeps coming out on the Slack. I'm not like, you know, nobody specifically. I would call out, because it's something that everybody does, and I'm sure I've been guilty of it as well. Mm-hmm. But you have things where it's like games like the first Shadowrun Returns or Pillars of Eternity or something, which are not as good as games that came later that did better, mm-hmm. are just like, yeah, that's fucking trash. And I'm like, in no way is that trash. Like,
right.
That's actually a pretty good game. It's just not the best game.
Yeah.
You know,
it is only trash in a world where you are looking at two of them at the same time and saying, which one of these should I play first? And even that, it's not trash. It's just temporarily not for me right now. Let's talk about it later.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, not putting them out. I mean, I'm guilty of that as well, uh-huh. You know, but it is a general irritation to, like, you know, with, it feels like almost specifically games criticism, mm-hmm. You know, like, it doesn't even happen. Like, the fact that he does that kind of good enough thing for movies, like, you know, when a movie reviewer reviews a movie and it is a real 3 out of 5 stars, mm-hmm. like, there are movies that have that kind of reputation.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get shunted in history into the good or bad.
Yeah, like it's not like it is immediately thrown on the same shelf as like Manos, the Hands of Fate, which I think is what a lot of what happens, you know. And like, we're not talking about Sparkster because it's a bad game. Like, this is not, you know, like the show is only nominally about bad games. I think Sean just knew that we wouldn't cover this on WAF, and it would be a terrible WAF, I think.
Yeah.
So we're talking about it here, but you're right. I think that like that is something that was really helped by Roger Ebert, who pretty much very early on applied does this accomplish what it's trying to do, which is, yes, a separate question of is what it's trying to do worth it.
It's not Roger Ebert. That's somebody else. That's like a famous critical thing who I can't remember who it's ascribed to, but it's like, it's, yeah, that's really good. It's those questions of art where it's like, you know, figure out what it's trying to do. Does it do it well? Is what it's trying to do worth it?
Yeah, I found out about it through Roger Ebert. That's why I was making that clip.
Yeah, he, and that's why he's like a great critic, right? Like, right, you know, he does that, and it's a really good way to like look at things, you know. And a lot of times, what I come to when there's something that I don't like, that ends up being, it's like super subjective and hard to express, is like, I don't think the thing it's trying to do is worth it.
Right.
You know, a lot of the games that I really, really dislike, mm-hmm, that's what comes down to. It's like, you know, I can kind of see what it's going for, but I don't know if this was really that interesting.
Right.
And that's where I'd put Sparkster too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this that interesting?
Yeah.
As a goal? No. You know, but it does what it wants to do just fine. Like, pretty well,
yeah,
even.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that's about all I got to say about the old Sparkster.
I think so too. Hopefully that 25 minutes of piss talk was enough to make up for us. Just kind of like,
you're happy, Sean.
I'm sure Sean will be fine. He's a very nice, agreeable man.
Oh yeah, he's great. I'm sure I'm absolutely sure he's fine.
Cool.
So thanks to everybody who suggested this. Thanks everybody for listening. Mm-hmm. If you like the show, the best thing you can do is support us on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, you can check out the rewards and goals, and you can get lots of extra episodes of this show. I think that, weirdly enough, even though this is our second most popular show, moving forward, we have structured almost all of our rewards around it. So if you, Abject Suffering fans, get the most bang for their buck
from
supporting us on Patreon.
Yeah. And if you missed any of those, we keep the three most recent episodes of any of our kind of like premium shows or premium content on there. After that, they go to duckfeed.tv/store, where you can buy them either piecemeal, or if you wait a while, they get included in discounted seasons. You know, we want that content to stay premium. God. Content.
Yeah. We want them to stay premium. We want it to go to the moon.
Yeah.
Will go to the moon.
Yeah, yeah. No, we want it to stay special. Like it is a way for us to make money. We like those episodes, but we want to kind of like phase those so we make it easy, if you're willing to wait to get a hold of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Ratings, reviews also useful. Telling your friends, things like that, especially if you have friends who are fans of the real golden stuff, if you got a friend who won't shut up about piss.
Wait a minute, Gary, the fake golden stuff,
the real golden stuff.
Okay.
Yes. If you have anybody who's like, just like, man, I'm looking for a podcast about piss,
well, you said that like Huell Hauser.
I'm looking for a podcast about piss. Howdy, I'm the sheriff looking for a podcast about piss. If that is the case, definitely send them our way, because we have the podcast for them. We just have couching that in defensive terms, like where we're like, you know, make sure it's somebody you know is cool who'll be into this. Like, maybe you just know somebody who's just like, God, do I need to know about fucking, I need a piss cast now.
There was a while where we called those damn Ross Kids fan piss dragons. I think we need to bring that back.
Yeah, the piss dragons. It makes me think of the soup dragons.
Yeah, we were looking for a collective name for fans.
Yeah. Piss dragon. It's a little bit cool and a little bit gold.
A little bit cool, a little bit body temperature.
Yep. And what would happen if you peed one day and it was just cold, like real cold?
Oh geez, if steam came off of it.
Yeah, or like when you accidentally like you peed in the shower against your better will and it did touch your foot and it was like ice cold.
Yeah. Oh, just like it was so cold that the thermal difference cracked the porcelain of your tub.
Yeah. Just like a superpower.
Yeah. Oh God, is this the beginnings of me being an X-Man?
Yeah. Like they call me Freon, like, and just hopefully that will never happen to any of us.
Jeez, your mouth to God's ears, man.
Yeah. So until next time.
Who is Gold Dog?
Gold Dog will do it. Gold Dog works. Gold Dog scented powder.